Yeah, thanks, Rosen. I'm Cory, I'm an addict.
Hi, Cory.
I'm just going to do the next 15 minutes again. I would love to say that, you know, I'm really pleased to be sat here. And in a way, I am. But, you know, I'm absolutely full of fear. I'm sweating and... Oh, that's better. you know, I'm absolutely full of fear and I want to run and my head's spinning and my head's now saying to me that I can't remember anything about myself, my using, my recovery, anything. So my hope and my prayer is that I can just get a message out to some people tonight, you know, to give them that hope to hang on and to stick with it, because although I'm a jittering wreck up here, recovery is really, really worth it. So, full of fear. That's how I've always been. You know, as a child, I put on this kind of like act that I do to cover up a lot of my fear. And it's really bizarre. But when I was young, when I was about the age of 6, I had a conversation with my mum, and I'm not a religious person. I wasn't brought up in a religious household or anything like that, but I had this conversation with my mum about God and how cruel God was, because I couldn't cope with the negativity in the world, you know, and I just thought it was really cruel and punishing, and you know, it was almost unbearable as a child. You know, so for me, this is an illness that I was born with. And for me, I strongly believe that. I thought that was a dog there. I felt quite at home then. You know, it is an illness. And, you know, I strongly believe I was born with it. And that helps me today, you know, maintain my recovery on a daily basis, knowing that I've got an illness, you know, that I have to treat. That's how I look at it. You know, the part of my growing up was very much, you know, not feeling secure in myself, worrying too much about what everybody else thought of me. And I still have that today, but I'm really working on that. And, you know, in fear of what people thought, that people thought I was stupid and thick and uncool and... you know, all these sorts of things. And there's an example, when I was in infant school, the teacher was actually teaching us how to do like a simple kind of mathematical thing, and all the other kids had got it and they got sent out to play in the sand pit, and I didn't get it at all, and I couldn't get it, and the teacher sat and she went through it and through it and through it, and I just couldn't grasp it. And in the end, she sent me out to play without me actually having understood, you know. So I've had this fear that, you know, I'm thick and I'm stupid and I'm dumb and I'm uncool and everything like that. So, and then another point happened, I think, when I was about 10, and I thought I was going to be possessed by the devil, you know. So I've had some really weird thoughts, like hopefully some of you have. Hopefully that's not just me, huh? It is, isn't it? No, I do belong here. I do belong here. I feel like I need a poo. I have to say that. It's like, you know, like when you're coming up on stuff and like you need to go to the toilet. It's like, sorry. I just have to say these things and just get them out of my stupid head. Anyway, I picked up at about the age of 14 and was just absolutely amazed at what this stuff did for me. And it made me escape from myself, but also the world, because I just couldn't, I felt like I couldn't live in this world. And, you know, so my mission then was to be as cool as I could. And by taking more and more drugs, I thought that would make me cooler. So it was my mission to become a really good drug taker, and, you know, albeit I probably was in a way, but my consequences from my drug taking was pretty immediate. You know, I didn't turn up for like my GCSEs because I was pilling my head off around someone's house, and my sister's boyfriend had to come and drag me out of there. And, you know, then I got to the age of 16 and started trying to drive, and then passed my test, you know, lost my license within 6 months. So, you know, the consequences of my using were pretty immediate. And, you know, really I should have come into the rooms a long time ago, but as it happens, you know, it took 17 years. I need to say this because I feel also in fear that my head can tell me that I don't belong here because I didn't take heroin. And I can feel that, you know, I'm different and I still don't fit in. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, at the bottom line, I use drugs and I use them heavily for 17 years. And the last few years was every day. This is the thing. I used to think that I was a recreational user, you know, and I probably was at the beginning. You know, but then it became a daily thing, and you know, taking it to work, and you know, I don't know. I just needed to get that out, really. But the other thing is, as well, is I need to be really careful of that, because I'm quite jealous that I didn't do heroin, and I do fantasize about it a lot, because there was an incident in Egypt where me and my friend went out to score some gear, and we thought we were buying coke, and it was smack, and we took it back to our hotel room, this brown sandy, you know, lump, and anyway, we racked it up, and we, you know, she did her line, she blew it out, you know, she's like, oh, my nose hurts. And I did the rest, you know, in 2 days I was like convulsing for on the bed. And the only thing I could do was to get up to be sick about 18 times. And I was going in and out of consciousness and actually really liking it. So, yeah, so this is why I can't relapse, you know, and this is why I've got a really, really strong step one, is because, you know, if I do, I know that's probably straight where I go. And the fact of the matter is, you know, I collapsed not long before coming into recovery, and was fitting and stuff like that. You know, the doctors had warned me about my blood cells and my liver, and you know, I'd crashed 3 cars before coming into recovery. None of them was my own. you know, the consequences were getting really severe again, you know. So another situation happened. This is how cunning this illness is. And this is, you know, I really need to tell myself it is an illness, because, you know, my cousin was murdered and hacked up. You know, his head was found in a park, and his arm was in the oven and stuff like that, you know. And that sort of confirmed my fear, you know. And I had no faith. I had no faith through all of my kind of growing up and my using. And that's why I lived in fear so much. And that's why I used so much. You know, and when that happened, you know, my illness just convinced me that, you know, that's fine, that's it, you know, that's exactly where I'm coming from, you know, it's very cruel, it's an unsafe world. And that kind of gave me the excuse to use more, you know, so anything we use on, I know that, but sorry, I think I'm waffling a bit now. You know, basically I came into the rooms because, you know, I was isolated, you know, I'd with my wraps of coke, do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be enough, so I started buying an ounce at a time. You know, I was going to sell it, but I obviously didn't get around to selling any. You know, I was acting out, doing some weird behaviour, which I won't go into here, but it was strange. I was turning into something I just was frightened of, you know. I was frightened, and I didn't want to die, I didn't want to go on, but I just wanted peace and quiet in my life, you know. And I never knew how to get that, you know. Life was just chaotic, and I became sort of like this person that was camping out in her living room, you know, in a quilt. I was too frightened to move around my house even. you know, so I didn't go out on the streets and I didn't do all that, you know, but I used for 17 years, and, you know, it was a sad place to be, and just so frightened of people. Oh my God. Right, recovery. I come into treatment. Is it really just 5 minutes left? I came into treatment, and you know, I surrendered immediately. I was desperate and I wanted help, and I didn't know anything about addiction. And they taught me all about addiction. They taught me about the rooms. And I did step 1, 2, 3, and 4, actually, in treatment. And this is, I think, what helps, keeps me stay clean every day. I've got a very, very strong step one, the powerlessness. You know, I've just gone over some of those examples of not being able to stop. You know, when it's 6 o'clock in the morning, I've got to go to work. You know, all that sort of stuff is my powerlessness. And I don't need any more consequences, you know, I really don't. And coming into recovery, you know, I feel really wide open, you know, doing stuff like this, I feel really wide open, but I'm just over a year clean, and bloody hell, I'm able to sit up here and talk, you know, just actually open my mouth and convey some sort of message, which is just absolutely amazing. You know, in recovery, meetings at first for me, weren't comfortable. You know, I didn't feel like, oh, people say I've come home and stuff. I didn't feel like that immediately, but I just knew I had to keep coming back. You know, I didn't do coffees straight away after meetings. I was too frightened of people, again, judging me. I was still in that kind of mind frame. You know, but very slowly, God, I really believe God, I've now got God in my life and I've got faith today, you know, which is when Roz asked me to do this chair, I wanted to say no, but in a way, you know, this is God saying to me, Corrie, look at yourself, you know, you are actually okay, you know, and you have got something to say and you should be proud of your recovery. So that's why I'm able to sit up here today. My sponsor, oh my God, I mean, I love my sponsor so much. What an amazing person. You know, she's helped me to dress. You know, she's helped me find my way around London. She's held me by the hand, you know, and you know, she's been strict with me when she needs to, but, you know, she's a friend, and that's what's really important to me, because I just never felt like I had friends. You know, people were always out for what they could get from me, and I would do it because I was a people pleaser, although I'm learning that people pleasing is actually a manipulative defect, but I've got a lot to learn still. You know, so it's just amazing. This is like this voyage of discovery in myself and where I can go. And there's that saying, you know, have faith in, no, what is it, take pride in how far you've come and have pride in how far you can go. You know, so all I would say is, my 5 minutes nearly up, because I no, okay, oh good. Now I've totally lost my train of thought. You know, slowly I've started going out for coffee, you know, and I've started to build up this support network around me, you know, and I'm working the steps, you know, just handing my life over on a daily basis, which isn't always possible, you know, but for me, that's having faith. You know, I can't control outcomes. I can put the footwork in, and if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. Something else will follow, you know, and it's just so happening. You know, I'm not working at the moment in recovery, and I've worked all the way through my using life because I wanted materialistic things, because I thought that way I'd be liked and I'd be accepted by people, you know. And I'm going right back to basics, you know, and finding out about me, letting people see me for who I am, and if you like me, then great, and if not, you know, that's all right as well. God, it's just amazing. The more I talk about it, it makes me want to cry. I just feel so blown away and really grateful. Sorry, what a nonce, I can't believe I'm crying, but it's happy, and I can be like this today, you know, I can like have these feelings and be all right with it, you know. Before I came in to do this, I felt like I was buzzing, you know, and to be quite honest with you, it frightened me, you know. So, you know, if you are new, right, it is hard sometimes. And those first 6 months for me were really tough. And when I'm really having a bad time, I don't shower, you know, I don't leave the flat, I don't get out, I don't, you know, I can't face things. And that's all right as well. You know, God's not going to punish me for not praying on that day. Do you know what I mean? But pretty much I pray every day and every night. You know, I'm doing some meditation. Which is just helping calm my mind, because it's my mind that is just absolutely all over the shop, you know. And it's a really slow process, you know. It's like starting all over again, but how amazing. I feel so grateful. You know, my cousin didn't get this. You know, my granddads didn't get this. You know, my mum and dad are... I don't know what they are, but they're lovely, but they're mental, you know. You know, so we are really blessed. I feel really blessed, and I feel really blessed to be in a room full of people that, you know, are becoming my friends. And I just thank you for that, and thanks for the opportunity. Cheers. Over and out.